Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Life is an ever-changing experience. If you don't take the time to see what's going on around you, if you don't take the time to learn from the things that you see and the differences in the world that you experience, then you might miss out. And we learn new things every day. 4 years, a little more than that, when I moved here, it became a new life experience. Lots of things to learn when you move from the East Coast down to the desert. People are different. The weather is a little different. The plants and the animals, not quite the same. And so you learn. You learn what the differences are. You learn exactly how you might handle these differences and how those experiences might kind of shape and change your life. The one thing I really valued, really liked when I came here was the fact that grass wasn't that big of a deal. Not supposed to have grass in the desert. It's hard to grow grass in the desert. Why on earth do you grow grass in the desert? There are people that have grass obsession. It's just the way it works. And it's usually people, I think, who have been transplanted from other areas to here, because this used to be the place you'd go to if you had bad allergies or something. And in our infinite wisdom, we brought all those things that cause bad allergies with us. Because, oh, they're so pretty. One of the problems you have with grass, if you're a grass master, are weeds. Right? You don't want weeds with your grass because the weeds aren't grass. And so you have to have the grass and not the weeds. Now, most weeds aren't that big of a problem, at least the ones I've experienced way over there in yonder land, because green is green. And so if you're far away, they look green. It looks like grass. But there is that one insipid little weed that changes everything. That one weed that makes life miserable for the grass person. The one weed that makes you feel like you've been a failure in terms of maintaining your yard. The dandelion. The dandelion you can see from miles away. You can have a pristine yard. And when you go to bed and you wake up in the morning, it's there in the middle, taunting you, wagging its yellow head at you, going, I'm here to destroy your happiness. I'm here to make your lawn less than what you want it to be. And you run out and you grab that dandelion and you wrench it from the earth and you throw it into the trash and you wake up the next morning and there's five. And then 15, and soon it is a wash of yellow, soon to turn into a wash of white, soon to turn into five times that amount of dandelions, because your son or daughter will go and pick it and go, and blow those seeds all over the place. And there is nothing worse for a person who has dedicated their life to that beautiful green grass and the dandelion. So in today's gospel lesson, there are two parables. The one parable, I read somebody who wrote comments about it and said the first parable is so boring that it doesn't show up in any of the other gospels. Which is true, it's a dumb parable. I think you'd read it and go, yeah, that's how it works, Jesus. Thanks for the information. We know this. Then the second parable is about the mustard seed. Now it's a little bit better. Because this one, for anybody who was sitting and listening in ancient Palestine, and if they were drinking a cup of coffee, would have snorted the coffee out of their nose. Because you see, that little seed created the plant that was the dandelion of ancient Palestine. We didn't figure out what to do with those little itty-bitty mustard seeds for a couple of hundred years after Jesus, when the Romans said, oh, let's grind this up and make Dijon mustard out of it, okay? And the centurion said, but I prefer the yellow stuff. And so what ends up happening is this little seed is this horrible weed growing and choking off plants everywhere. And they can't get rid of it. No matter how much they pull it out, no matter how much they try to tend it, they wake up the next morning and there is a mustard plant. And for Jesus to call this scraggly plant that grows all over the place the greatest of all the shrubs obviously goes to show that Jesus skipped horticulture class. Because it was anything but. But what it was, and what it is in the parable, is the kingdom of God. Because Jesus could have said the kingdom of God is like a weed. You can't talk about the kingdom of God like that. That's horrible. A weed? What is a weed? A weed is that thing that grows no matter where it happens to be. A weed is that thing that shows up unexpectedly in the middle of the night and is standing there going, ha. The weed is that thing that fills the areas where there's voids, where there's nothing else growing. That weed is that thing that no matter what you try to do, no matter how much you try to destroy it, it's going to be there. And if you think you got rid of it, well, it's going to be back. That is the kingdom of God. 2,000 years ago, this whole thing started with one guy and 12 other guys, one who decided to jump ship. So 11 guys, and because the first guy gets crucified. And so it starts with 11. In some backwater town, in a place that nobody really wanted to go visit in the first place. Think of the possibilities. And yet it germinated throughout the world, this weed of God that has been given to us as a shelter, little birds. Because we're the birds in the story, seeking shelter in its branches. And isn't that what the church is to us? In part, a place of shelter. A place that protects us from what's going on out there. A place that gets us away from the heat of the world sometimes. A place that gives us respite when things are difficult. A place that helps feed us and help us grow. It is a weed that we are part of. Fast-growing one. A weed that changes the world. A weed that can't be torn down or destroyed or burned because it just keeps coming back again and again and again. It was a weed that Jesus used to describe the kingdom of God. Something that many people don't like. Something that serves a purpose. You think about it, they didn't have a clue that they were going to get mustard some 300 years later out of this nasty little plant. And yet, this nasty little plant serves as the descriptive force for us of understanding exactly what God has blessed us with. The gift of eternity. The gift and the promise of God's presence here in this place, no matter what the world might happen to bring to bear. The gift of God in this place, no matter what happens within our lives. The gift of God there to protect us. The gift of God there to to keep us out of the heat of the world, the gift of God there to give us the things that we need, no matter what the world might offer, and no matter how hard that world might try. It is a gift that cannot and will not be destroyed. It is perhaps one of Jesus' goofiest parables, but it is the one that makes the most sense. And it is probably the one that Jesus explained to the disciples off on the side. Because what good is a mustard seed anyway? Out of the smallest of things, God grows the greatest, giving us what we need, when we need it, however we might happen to need it. Helping us grow in faith each and every day. Giving us the protection that we need from the world to be able to strive out into this world to be the people that God has called us to be. We feel somewhat insignificant, I think, sometimes in our ability to be able to do things within this world, to do the things that God calls us to do. And yet we're given everything that we need. Everything that we need to be able to serve God through the blessings that He's placed in our lives, even in the blessings that we don't wholly understand. Amen.